Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarani. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chapter 2. Prayers by the Demigods for Lord Krishna in the Womb. King Kamsa not only occupied the kingdoms of the Yadu, Bhoja, and Andaka dynasties, and the kingdom of Shurasena, but he also made alliances with all the other demoniac kings, such as the demon Pralamba, demon Bhaka, demon Chanvara, demon Trinavarta, demon Agasura, demon Mushtika, demon Arishta, demon Dvidvida, demon Putana, demon Keshi, and demon Denuka. At that time, Jarasandha was the king of the Magadha province, known at present as Bihar state. Thus, by his diplomatic policy, Kamsa consolidated the most powerful kingdom of his time under the protection of Jarasandha. He made further alliances with such kings as Banasura and Bhaumasura until he was the strongest. Then he began to behave most inimically toward the Yadu dynasty into which Krishna was to take his birth. Being harassed by Kamsa, the kings of the Yadu, Bhoja, and Andaka dynasties began to take shelter in different states, such as the state of the Kurus, the state of the Panchalas, and the states known as Kekai, Shalva, Vidarbha, Nishadha, Videha, and Kosala. Kamsa broke the solidarity of the Yadu kingdom, as well as the Bhoja and Andaka. He made his position the most solid within the vast tract of land known at that time as Bharatavarsha. When Kamsa was killing the six babies of Devaki and Vasudev one after another, many friends and relatives of Kamsa approached him and requested him to discontinue these heinous activities. But all of them became worshippers of Kamsa. When Devaki became pregnant for the seventh time, a plenary expansion of Krishna, known as Ananta, appeared within her womb. Devaki was overwhelmed with both jubilation and lamentation. She was joyful, for she could understand that Lord Vishnu had taken shelter within her womb. But at the same time, she was sorry that as soon as her child would come out, Kamsa would kill him. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, being compassionate upon the Yadus, who were fearful due to the atrocities committed by Kamsa, ordered the appearance of Yogamaya, his internal potency. Krishna is the Lord of the universe, but he is especially the Lord of the Yadu dynasty. Yogamaya is the principal potency of the Personality of Godhead. In the Vedas, it is stated that the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has multi-potencies. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. All the different potencies are acting externally and internally, and Yogamaya is the chief of all potencies. The Lord ordered the appearance of Yogamaya in the land of Vrajabhumi in Vrindavan, which is always decorated and full with beautiful cows. In Vrindavan, Rohini, one of the wives of Vasudev, was residing at the house of King Nanda and Queen Yashoda. Not only Rohini, but many others in the Yadu dynasty were scattered all over the country due to their fear of the atrocities of Kamsa. Some of them were even living in the caves of the mountains. The Lord thus informed Yogamaya. Under the imprisonment of Kamsa are Devaki and Vasudev. And at the present moment, my plenary expansion, Shesha, is within the womb of Devaki. You can arrange the transfer of Shesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. After this arrangement, I am personally going to appear in the womb of Devaki with my full potencies. Then I shall appear as the son of Devaki and Vasudeva, and you shall appear as the daughter of Nanda and Yashoda in Vrindavan. Since you will appear as my contemporary sister, and since you will quickly satisfy desires for sense gratification, people within the world will worship you with all kinds of valuable presentations, incense, candles, flowers, and offerings of sacrifice. People who are after materialistic perfection will worship you under the different forms of your expansions, which will be named Durga, Bhadrakali, Vijaya, Vaishnavi, Kumuda, Chandika, Krishna, Madhavi, Kanyaka, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sharada, and Ambika. Krishna and Yogamaya appeared as brother and sister, the Supreme Powerful and the Supreme Power. Although there is no clear distinction between the powerful and the power, power is always subordinate to the powerful. Those who are materialistic are worshippers of the power, but those who are transcendentalists are worshippers of the powerful. Krishna is the supreme powerful, and Durga is the supreme power within the material world. Actually, people in the Vedic culture worship both the powerful and the power. There are many hundreds and thousands of temples of Vishnu and Devi, and sometimes they are worshipped simultaneously. The worship of the power, Durga, or the external energy of Krishna, may achieve all kinds of material success very easily. But anyone who wants to be elevated transcendentally must engage in worshipping the powerful in Krishna consciousness. The Lord also declared to Yogamaya, my plenary expansion Anantashesha is within the womb of Devaki. On account of being forcibly attracted to the womb of Rohini, he will be known as Sankarsana and will be the source of all spiritual power or bala by which one can attain the highest bliss of life, which is called Ramana. Therefore, the plenary portion, Ananta, will be known after his appearance either as Sankarsana or as Balaram. In the Upanishads, it is stated, Nayam Atma Balahinena Labhya. The purport is that one cannot attain the supreme platform of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. Bala does not mean physical strength. No one can attain spiritual perfection by physical strength. One must have the spiritual strength which is infused by Balaram or Sankarsana. Ananta, or Shesha, is the source of the power which sustains all the planets in their different positions. Materially, this sustaining power is known as the law of gravitation. But actually, it is a display of the potency of Sankarsana. Balaram, or Sankarsana, is the source of spiritual power, or the original spiritual master. Therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is also the incarnation of Balaram, is the original spiritual master. And the spiritual master is the representative of Balaram, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who supplies spiritual strength. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is confirmed that the spiritual master is the manifestation of the mercy of Krishna. Thus ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya circumambulated the Lord and then appeared within this material world according to his order. When Yogamaya, the supreme power of the supremely powerful personality of Godhead, transferred Lord Shesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, both Devaki and Rohini were under Yogamaya's spell, which is called Yoga Nidra. When this was done, people thought that Devaki's seventh pregnancy had been a miscarriage. Thus, although Balaram appeared as the son of Devaki, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini to appear as her son. After this arrangement, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is always ready to protect his unalloyed devotees, entered within the mind of Vasudeva as the Lord of the whole creation, with full inconceivable potencies. It is understood in this connection that Lord Krishna first of all situated himself in the unalloyed heart of Vasudeva and was then transferred to the heart of Devaki. He was not put into the womb of Devaki by seminal discharge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable potency, can appear in any way. It is not necessary for him to appear in the ordinary way by seminal injection within the womb of a woman. When Vasudeva was sustaining the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, he appeared just like the glowing sun, whose shining rays are always unbearable and scorching to the common man. The form of the Lord situated in the pure, unalloyed heart of Vasudeva is not different from the original form of Krishna. The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere, and specifically within the heart, is called Dhamma. Dhamma refers not only to Krishna's form, but also to his name, his qualities, and his paraphernalia. Everything becomes manifest simultaneously. Thus, the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with full potencies, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki, exactly as the setting sun's rays are transferred to the full moon rising in the east. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thus entered the body of Devaki from the body of Vasudeva without being subject to any of the conditions of an ordinary living entity. Since Krishna was there, it is to be understood that all his plenary expansions, such as Narayan, and incarnations like Lord Narsinga and Varaha, were with him. And they also were not subject to the conditions of material existence. In this way, Devaki became the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second, and the cause of all creation. Devaki became the residence of the Absolute Truth, because she was confined within the house of Kamsa, she looked just like suppressed fire or like misused education. When fire is kept in a jug, the illuminating rays of the fire cannot be very much appreciated. Similarly, misused knowledge, which does not benefit the people in general, is not very much appreciated. So Devaki was kept within the prison walls of Kamsa's palace, and no one could see her transcendental beauty, which resulted from her conceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kamsa, however, saw the transcendental beauty of his sister Devaki, and he at once concluded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had taken shelter in her womb. She had never before looked so wonderfully beautiful. He could distinctly understand that there was something wonderful within the womb of Devaki. In this way, Kamsa became perturbed because he was sure that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who would kill him in the future, had now come. Kamsa thus began to think, what is to be done with Devaki? Surely she has Vishnu or Krishna within her womb. So it is certain that Krishna has come to execute the mission of the demigods. And even if I immediately kill Devaki, his mission cannot be frustrated. Kamsa knew very well that no one can frustrate the purpose of Vishnu. Any intelligent man can understand that the laws of God cannot be violated. His purpose will be served in spite of all impediments offered by the demons. Kamsa thought, if I kill Devaki at the present moment, Vishnu will enforce his supreme will more vehemently. To kill Devaki just now would be a most abominable act. No one desires to kill his reputation, even in an awkward situation. If I kill Devaki now, my reputation will be spoiled. Devaki is a woman, and she is under my shelter. She is pregnant, and if I kill her, immediately my reputation, the results of my pious activities, and my duration of life will all be finished. He further deliberated. A person who is too cruel is as good as dead, even in this lifetime. No one likes a cruel person during his lifetime, and after his death, people curse him. On account of this self-identification with the body, he must be degraded and pushed into the darkest region of hell. Kamsa thus meditated on all the pros and cons of killing Devaki at that time. Kamsa finally decided not to kill Devaki right away, but to await for the inevitable future. But his mind became absorbed in animosity against the personality of Godhead. He patiently waited for the delivery of the child, expecting to kill him, as he had done previously with the other babies of Devaki. Thus, being merged in the ocean of animosity against the personality of Godhead. He began to think of Krishna or Vishnu while sitting, while sleeping, while walking, while eating, while working, in all the situations of his life. His mind became so much absorbed with the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that indirectly he could see only Krishna or Vishnu around him. Unfortunately, although his mind was so absorbed in the thought of Vishnu, he is not recognized as a devotee because he was thinking of Krishna as an enemy. The state of mind of a great devotee is also to be always absorbed in Krishna. But a devotee thinks of him favorably, not unfavorably. To think of Krishna favorably is Krishna consciousness. But to think of Krishna unfavorably is not Krishna consciousness. At this time, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, accompanied by great sages like Narada, and followed by many other demigods, invisibly appeared in the house of Kamsa. They began to pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in select verses, which are very pleasing to the devotees, and which award fulfillment of their desires. The first words they spoke acclaim that the Lord is true to his vow. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna descends to this material world just to protect the pious and to destroy the impious. That is his vow. The demigods could understand that the Lord had taken his residence within the womb of Devaki to fulfill his vow. And they were very glad that the Lord was appearing in order to fulfill his mission. Then the demigods addressed the Lord as Satyam Param, or the Supreme Absolute Truth. Everyone is searching after the truth. That is the philosophical way of life. The demigods give information that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Krishna. One who becomes fully Krishna conscious can attain the Absolute Truth. Krishna is the Absolute Truth because, unlike relative truth, he is truth in all the three phases of eternal time. Time is divided into past, present, and future. Krishna is truth always, past, present, and future. In the material world, everything is being controlled by supreme time in the course of past, present, and future. But before the creation, Krishna was existing. And when there is creation, everything is resting in Krishna. And when this creation is finished, Krishna will remain. Therefore, he is the absolute truth in all circumstances. If there is any truth within this material world, it emanates from the supreme truth, Krishna. If there is any opulence within this material world, the cause of the opulence is Krishna. If there is any reputation within this material world, the cause of the reputation is Krishna. If there is any strength within this material world, the cause of such strength is Krishna. If there is any wisdom and education within this material world, the cause of such wisdom and education is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the source of all relative truths. This material world is composed of five principal elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And all such elements are emanations from Krishna. The material scientists accept these five primary elements as the cause of the material manifestation. But the elements in their gross and subtle states are produced by Krishna, the living entities who are working within this material world are products of his marginal potency. In the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that the whole manifestation is a combination of two kinds of energies of Krishna, the superior energy and the inferior energy. The living entities are the superior energy, and the dead material elements are his inferior energy. In its dormant stage, everything remains in Krishna. The demigods continue to offer their respectful prayers unto the supreme form of the personality of Godhead, Krishna, by analytical study of the material manifestation. What is this material manifestation? It is just like a tree. A tree stands on the ground. Similarly, the tree of the material manifestation is standing on the ground of material nature. This material manifestation is compared to a tree because a tree is ultimately cut off in due course of time. A tree is called vriksha. Vriksha means that thing which will be ultimately cut off. Therefore, this tree of the material manifestation cannot be accepted as the ultimate truth because it is influenced by time. But Krishna's body is eternal. He existed before the material manifestation. He is existing while the material manifestation is continuing, and when it will be dissolved, he will continue to exist. Therefore, only Krishna can be accepted as the absolute truth. The Katha Upanishad also cites this example of the tree of the material manifestation standing on the ground of material nature. This tree has two kinds of fruits, distress and happiness. Those who are living in the tree of the body are just like two birds. One bird is the localized aspect of Krishna, known as the Paramatma, and the other bird is the living entity. The living entity is eating the fruits of this material manifestation. Sometimes he eats the fruit of happiness, and sometimes he eats the fruit of distress. But the other bird is not interested in eating the fruit of distress or happiness because he is self-satisfied. The Katha Upanishad states that one bird on the tree of the body is eating the fruits and the other bird is simply witnessing. The roots of this tree extend in three directions. This means that the root of the tree is the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Just as the tree's root expands, so by association of the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, one expands his duration of material existence. The tastes of the fruit are of four kinds: religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and ultimately liberation. According to the different associations in the three modes of material nature, the living entities are tasting different kinds of religiosity, different kinds of economic development, different kinds of sense gratification, and different kinds of liberation. Practically, all material work is performed in ignorance. But because there are three qualities, sometimes the quality of ignorance is covered with goodness or passion. The taste of these material fruits is accepted through five senses. The five sense organs through which knowledge is acquired Arabs subjected to six kinds of whips: lamentation, illusion, infirmity, death, hunger, and thirst. This material body, or the material manifestation, is covered by seven layers: skin, flesh, blood, marrow, bone, fat, salmon. The branches of the tree are eight: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. There are nine gates in this body: two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, one mouth, one genital, one rectum. And there are 10 kinds of internal air passing within the body: prana, apana, udana, dhyana, samana, etc. The two birds seated in this tree, as explained above, are the living entity and the localized supreme personality of Godhead, Paramatma. The root cause of the material manifestation described here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself to take charge of the three qualities of the material world. Vishnu takes charge of the mode of goodness, Brahma takes charge of the mode of passion, and Lord Shiva takes charge of the mode of ignorance. Brahma, by the mode of passion, creates this manifestation. Lord Vishnu maintains this manifestation by the mode of goodness, and Lord Shiva annihilates it by the mode of ignorance. The whole creation ultimately rests in the Supreme Lord. He is the cause of creation, maintenance, and dissolution. And when the whole manifestation is dissolved in its subtle form as the Supreme Lord's energy, it rests within his body. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you for this blissful opportunity to recite Krishna book. So Vas Prabhu, anything you want to, anybody want to share anything?
Thank you very much for your...
Hare Krishna. What's that? Yes. You waiting for the mic? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And here comes the microphone.
Thank you for the wonderful reading. Thank you. This is a perennial question, but I just want to bring it up one more time. Krishna is the cause of all causes. Nothing happens without him causing it. So all these things like evil, ignorance, is the cause of all troubles in the world. Now, if someone says that just an ordinary father having children around, he will get rid of all the things that his children will get into trouble, like poison, knives, guns, pills, drugs, everything, because he loves them, his children. This is here in the material world. So now the Supreme Father, he's the cause of all causes. Why is this happening like that? Can you explain it?
So basically, your question is, why does God place us in a world full of dangers? Correct?
Yeah, that's one way to see it.
So, this goes back to the original sin. What is the original sin? We wanted to imitate Krishna. Krishna says, oh, you want to imitate me? That can't happen here in my abode because everyone else is in agreement with me. So for you, I have to create a dreamland where you can pretend to be me. You cannot be me, but you want to feel like me. So I'll create Los Angeles. Go to Los Angeles and try to be the supreme enjoyer. Try to be the supreme proprietor. Try to be the supreme friend that everyone talks about and worships. Go ahead. But you will learn, ultimately, that you cannot be me. Because what do we learn from 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Purushottama Yoga? I am beyond both fallible and infallible. So even in the spiritual world, although Krishna may agree to relate to us, still he is always in the superior position. No applications being accepted to replace Krishna. So, we wanted to be independent. Krishna has given us this material world. And all these dangers there, why? Because we violate, was mentioned in today's reading, the laws of nature. See, the problem is, the devil wants a separate world, but with no reactions. That's not possible. We are living in a reactionary world. That's the way this world is designed. You can't, whether you accept God or not, everybody's well aware that everything, action and reaction, there are laws. And no president, no governor, no king can change those laws of God or laws of nature. We violate those laws, suffering must be there. I remember, as a 5-year-old boy, sticking a pencil in the electric socket. Luckily, my mother caught me just in time. But I did get a big shock. Now, the electricity didn't think, oh, little Nicky, he doesn't know what he's doing. No. The laws of nature are strict. There's no escaping. Now, why does God do that? Because Krishna wants us to return. You compared him to a father. Yes. That is also stated in Bhagavad Gita. He is the original father. Aham Bijapadak Pita. Yes, he's our father. But in the material world, what is the lesson? Tough love. Yes, you have more?
Just in that point of ignorance and the three modes of material nature and Mahamaya keeping us here. So because you mentioned that that was originated there, are you assuming that, or your understanding is that ignorance also was there? At the moment that you choose, ignorance came, the three modes of material nature infected that person to be conditioned.
There are no modes in the spiritual world. So, no. No tamagun in the spiritual world. You're forgetting one basic principle. The living entity, like Krishna, has free will. And our free will is poquito poquino. We don't have free will like Krishna. We wish we did. That's also the devil's wish. He wanted to be supremely independent like God. Sorry. So we have minute independence, minute free will. Otherwise, no question of the word love. So it didn't come from any outside influence. I have nobody to blame for my being here other than the man in the mirror. It wasn't that God punished me. Same is there in the Bible. God gave Adam and Eve just one commandment. But misuse of free will, Paradise Lost. And Prabhupada refers to that book, Paradise Lost, in one of his Chaitanya Charitamrita purports. It's a famous classic by somebody named Milton, which is an explanation of Genesis, the fall of Adam and Eve. And he goes into great detail. So obviously Prabhupada was aware of this Paradise Lost. Maybe he studied in God, I don't know. But he definitely refers to it. So Adam and Eve misused their free will. Now, in their case, they were tempted. Okay. But as far as we are concerned, no, there was no outside influence. It came from me. I wanted to experience what is it like to be Krishna. Krishna says, okay, go. Okay? What's that? Oh, thank you. All right. Yes, and we see it play out every day. Every day, the news is all about this person wanting to be supreme. Yes, you have a question? Thank you for that delicious question, Satchitanoy.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the class. So my question is about how the transference of Balaram happens to the womb of...
The transfer of Balaram from Devaki to Rohini?
Yeah, because it's like very extraordinary thing. It's not seen generally. So I was wondering you could say a little bit more on that.
No, I don't know any more details. Just that Yogamaya attracted him from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. I have not read anything, any more details specific how that happens. But Prabhupada has at least given us that much, that he was attracted by Yogamaya. You know anything more?
Yeah, I would say something.
You know? Okay.
Not a lot. The fact of the matter is Rohini was pregnant at that time. And what happened, in order to make room for Balaram to come in, that fetus had to be aborted. And that's exactly what's happened. So when the space was made in Rohini's womb, that was when Balaram could come in. And that's all I know.
Okay, there you have it. More.
So question is, if everything is perfect in a spiritual world, and we were there, but we have free will, okay, we have free will. But what is this, some more information? What is the basic of what is that, what influence living being to want to be like Krishna?
Because, there is
because
no...
everything that, is perfect there, and where this comes
that's
from?
My point. There perfect is no influence other than yourself. But you perfect, keep thinking that there's an outside... No.
But
what?
But perfect relationship, we already have it. So how is possible from where this comes from? It just doesn't
yes.
make sense.
How is it possible? It's called inconceivable. And that's why Prabhupada points out There is no use trying to trace out the history when it happened, because you will drive yourself crazy trying to figure out how it happened. So that's why there's that warning. There is no need to trace out when this happened. And the example is given. If all of a sudden we got a notice, there's a bomb threat. So are you going to spend time investigating? No. You're going to first of all get to safety. You're going to evacuate. Then later the investigation will come. So if this question is so important to someone, first go back to Godhead. And when you go back to Godhead, you can ask Krishna, Krishna, why was I such a knucklehead? Why was I so stupid? Why? But I guarantee you, once you go back to Godhead, that is going to be the last thing you'll ever want to say to Krishna. Material existence is like a dream. Have you ever had a nightmare? When you wake up from the nightmare, do you try to figure out, oh, how did it happen? No. You're just, oh, thank God, it was just a dream. And you resume your activities. This whole material existence is a dream. Go back to Godhead, wake up from the dream, Hari Bol. Yes.
Another example of that was Prabhupada said that just like if a person meets like a pure devotee of the Lord, that's like inconceivable. How is it that happens? How is it that you meet someone that can deliver you from this material world? It's like inconceivable. It's not like you're thinking about it. It's not like you've made a goal or a passion in your life, but then you meet that individual. Or just like on a material platform, a mundane level, you meet someone that you love in the material world. It's, how is that conceivable? How is it that it happened? It happened. And you just have to accept it.
Yes. Good. And we have Ravindranath. Boy, we're asking lots of questions today.
My understanding with the question of how we fell, it's not a matter of so much trying to figure out exactly what it is. It's a matter of we just accept what the Srila Prabhupada says and what the Acharya says, and we shouldn't start mental speculating how it's possible besides what they say. That's my understanding. Is that what would you say?
No, we know. I already explained. We know how it's possible.
Yeah.
Misuse of free will.
Yeah.
But specifically, why? No, you're never going to. Yeah, don't waste your time.
Unless it's specifically said by the Acharyas, we shouldn't speculate and try to.
Yes.
Yeah, that's.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're wasting your time. Let's get out of here. Let's go back to Godhead. I don't want to come back again. Just think about what we just went through the last 6 years. You think it's going to get any better? I got news for you. The worst is yet to come. So let's get the hell out of this material world. Go back home, back to Godhead. All in favor, say Hari Bol. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.